Happy Father's Day. I just was introduced to probably one of my new heroes this morning. He's going to be a champion of my life. And good thing there's caption because he's from Scotland. All you fathers that have the ongoing battle of worldliness called boyfriend, girlfriend, will empathize with this gentleman and myself. And Cheryl, if you can just get this right, this is a four-year-old girl saying she wants to have a boyfriend. So for Father's Day, all you guys, I can feel your pain. And you're going to enjoy this.
Why can I not get a boyfriend?
Because I'm not letting you get a boyfriend.
Why not?
Because you're not getting one.
Dad, I can get a boyfriend if I want to get a boyfriend.
Daddy will break his legs.
No.
Yes, I will.
Dad,
And guess what will happen after that?
What?
See, your boyfriend's daddy. Mm-hmm. Daddy will take him hostage and keep him in a cupboard. You're not going to get a boyfriend, you're going to be a nun. You're going to be a nun. You're going to work for Jesus.
No, I'm not. I'm going to get a boyfriend.
They're who you're going to work for.
No, I'm not.
They're who you're going to work for. End of story.
Hey!
Love it! Happy Father's Day, all you dads. You're going to be a nun.
Okay.
Who is cheering?
All right. Hallelujah. Imagine hearing that in the morning. Woo! I can relate, being former Catholic, man. That was an awesome statement. He pulled out the cross and everything. He got serious. 4 years old. God help him. Hallelujah. Oh, dear. This morning, Lord, we just continue to commit our way and have your way. Let's praise you and thank you, Lord, for who you are. Or more than what you do, it's who you are. And Lord, I praise you and thank you. We can come into a corporate worship in a free nation, giving our free will over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk about a real manly topic. Sorry, ladies, but we're going to delve into wrestling this morning. I want to talk about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. You know, it's interesting how, you know, God, he calls us all sons, even though we're sons and daughters, he calls us all sons. And looking at the life of Jacob, we'll be looking at Genesis 32, if you want to make reference in Scripture, make notes. I just want to say, before I get into it, just a big thank you for everybody that was involved in the Prophetic Collaborative. It was more than successful. It was amazing, off the charts. We're going to do another one November 5th. And just to allow God to speak and encourage those who are going after God's voice and engaging God's communication in different mediums that he uses, and to have a space, a place that would host such an event is just a real blessing. I want to thank everybody that participated in that, and we look forward to many more times. Wrestling with God, Jacob. Man, Jacob gets a bad rap, you know. They throw out his name as a deceiver. The guy, you know, puts animal hair on his arm and gets a blessing. And you know, he really cops it in a lot of teachings. If you do any research on him, you know, there's all sorts of smackdowns for old Jacob. Jacob's an amazing story. You know, I see Jacob and I can relate. Being a former wrestler and a wrestling coach, and even got to use wrestling Greco-Roman style and freestyle wrestling, the art of, at Suncoast Christian College, where I was, believe it or not, a rugby coach for 2 years as a wrestling coach. And just, you know, certain things sometimes transcend into cultures and certain things don't. This message would definitely hit a highlight in the American culture because all high schools have Greco-Roman wrestling teams. Wrestling is an ancient sport, you know, the Greco-Roman, the Greeks, the Romans. Iran is huge. Teams like Mongolia and Georgia and Azerbaijan and all those former satellite countries of Russia and India is still a huge wrestling nation. And it has to be a part of your makeup to endure pain to be a wrestler. The dedication, the 6 minutes of hell. In high school, you know, my buddies who wrestled, I pulled off wrestling from high school to concentrate on baseball because I didn't want my shoulders to get ripped out of socket and mess up my throwing motion. And so, you know, you find these tough kids, these tough-nosed kids. My MO was to find, as I was a substitute teacher and working in public schools in America, would to find kids who had kind of listless behavior, no real dad figure, you know, in and out of the principal's office, and give them a pathway to use their aggression, to use really misuse commitment into a healthy avenue so that they could be supported, they could be awarded, they could be celebrated. And thankfully, there's a lot of young men that have benefited from the art in the game of wrestling. Jacob was a wrestler from day one. Jacob, it says in Scripture in Genesis that he fought with his brother in the womb. Esau and Jacob being twins. So, you know, Jacob is the son of Isaac and Rebekah. He's the grandson of Abraham. And there's, you know, he's the third person of this wonderful covenant that's been extended to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob is this wrestler, you know, he's coming out of the womb, and it says he grabs the heel of his brother, Esau. And there's this terrible enmity, there's this competition that we see outplaying today on the world scene, and we'll continue to see it outplay. But him being the younger brother, he has this competition with Esau, and Jacob's a man who's wrestling with his identity. He's wrestling with being second best. In the culture, everything would go to Esau, the elder brother. And yep, Jacob used his name, or his name was prophetic in the action where he does deceive, a supplanter it's called, but really the name also means a grabber. He grabs his brother's heel coming out. He's striving for. There's something in depth of Jacob that I think we can relate to, that when we're in life, we're wrestling with something, but something is not always identified. We're wrestling to get ahead. We're wrestling to be recognized. We're wrestling to become wealthy or famous or known or heard. Just give me a voice, all you. We're going to go take finding your voice, striving, wrestling with something inside, outside, within, without. I think we can relate to Jacob in all humanity. There's a struggle and a wrestle through all culture. We're trying to wrestle against worldliness and the strategies of the demonic to press through to establish kingdom in this area. Everybody in this room, you can relate in some way to a wrestle, to a struggle, and to something that's within man. I believe God allows there to be a part of our free will to struggle, to wrestle. Jacob later has 12 sons. These 12 sons are going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. He's going to get a name change. But that name change doesn't come by his initiation. It's the Lord's initiation. And the Lord, can I say, he allows tests in our life, but the test will pass. But also the tests are brought in our life to see if we pass. All tests, seasons of tests will pass, but they're so we graduate in maturity. We graduate in knowing who our God is. Can I say knowing who we are in him? Jacob's going to have many tests throughout his life, some more harder than others. He's the guy that he works for 7 years for Laban, Rebekah's brother. He goes, you know, he's sent away because of fear of what's going to happen with Esau. He's sent away for 20 years in the land of Canaan. He's hanging out with Laban, and because of that, he finds his two wives. And you know the story. Maybe you don't. But he works for 7 years for a man, Laban, so he could have his daughter, and he's tricked, and he's given the daughter that he really did not want. He's given the sister, Leah. And then he's tricked again and said, you know, but if you really want the prize you were after, you have to work another 7 years. Jacob was committed. You can call him a deceiver all you want. Brother had drive. Can I say, though, that there's a point where we realize in life, drive or pushing limits you because the momentum for push will stop. The whole picture of Jacob is God bringing Jacob to the end of himself, and then he feels or knows the pull of God. Every test will pass. I pray I pass every test. Jacob finds himself in an amazingly lonely position. He, in chapter 25 of Genesis, Esau was a hunter. He goes out, he's famished. I can't even imagine being this hungry, but he's so hungry for a bowl of stew, he's going to give his birthright verbally over to Jacob. I mean, what kind of stupid is that? You're so hungry from hunting, you're going to give your position. Everything in the culture relies on firstborn right. You're going to give that right for soup. That's a kind of hunger or something that I haven't experienced. But the Bible makes it very clear this is what happens. But Jacob is striving really for blessing. He's striving against his brother's heel, trying to, even if I could say, probably pull him in back in so he could get out first. It didn't happen. And then he sees his opportunity. He's pretty smart, hey? Here's the soup, but you got to give me your birthright. Then Esau is sent out, and Jacob sees his opportunity. And because Esau means hairy or red, all sorts of translations, but the dude had a lot of hair. And he must have had a lot of hair because you got Jacob putting hair of an animal on his arm. So when his dad, who couldn't see obviously well, he's passing all these tests that Isaac's trying to see if it's really Esau. But Jacob lies. And we're not saying it's okay to lie to get ahead. But this guy is so driven for the blessing, if I could say, for his goal, the wrestle. He's pushing in his own effort to get the blessing, which he's saying is God. He's thinking it's from his father, but he's really after the blessing of his heavenly father. He doesn't know it. So he's resolved to do whatever it takes to get ahead. You know, sometimes you can get what you strive for, but it's a headache the rest of your life. Because when he gets the blessing of Isaac, trouble starts. Matter of fact, his mother becomes so fearful, she's going to send him to uncle. You can't stay home. You got to leave. And so this journey for Jacob is under duress because he's fearful for his own life. He gets the blessing of Isaac. It's irrevocable. Once the father pronounces the blessing, there's no going back. God, the father, honors the blessing of the father upon the son. And God uses the circumstances of men to bring blessing, everyone. It doesn't mean the way we get there is necessarily a godly way, but God, being a God of grace, blesses my way. He blesses Yahweh. He sees in my life. He blesses the plan of God for us. And there's times when we need to repent even while being on the plan of God. And so Jacob goes on this amazing journey. He's on his way back from Canaan. He has his two wives. He has his children. He's got all of his possessions. And word gets out, Brother Esau is coming with 400 men. And I can tell you, it's not a party. They ain't going to celebrate. It's a war party. Esau is back, you know, is going to back up his vow of revenge. And Jacob is scared. Jacob's alone in the desert. He's now had to leave the place that he grew up in, the security of, to come back. And in that place, he finds himself alone. He finds himself struggling to come up with a plan of how he's going to preserve himself, how he's going to preserve this blessing that's been evoked upon his life, no matter the means that he came to get it. And so he decides in Genesis 32, he decides that he's going to put his wives across the river Jabbok, which means crooked path. And there's going to be a moment in Jacob's life where the thing that means something, he puts over. You know, there's a crooked way that man walks without the guidance of Christ. It seemed right to him. The very possessions in his life that he spent 14 years sweating and bleeding to get. Rachel, with Leah as a consolation prize. I don't know, whatever you want to say. She's thrown in the deal. And the children and the possessions he puts across the river, and he finds himself with no possession, no family, no comfort, no army, no way out, brothers coming to kill. He finds himself in a place alone, and God decides it's time to wrestle. You ever had a point in your life where you just said, man, God, probably not a good time right now. I don't know why you want to grab me right now, but it's the low point. I'm not really on a thrill high. We don't have the little, you know, things with the hats and, you know, the confetti's thrown up in the air. And you pick this time to pick a fight with me. You ever been there? I guarantee you in your life you'll go there. You ever already experienced that? You will. See, God's timing is perfect. God has a plan. God's going to pull Jacob. Jacob's done pushing. He's come to the end of his master plan. And that had been working so well. Because he wasn't totally yielded in himself to the way of God. But God's honoring, can I say, his will to want the blessing. Jacob was a man who wanted the blessing. He's grabbing the heel of Esau. Isaac's grabbing his arm to identify him. What was the purpose of that? To get Isaac's blessing. He's fighting Esau to get the blessing. He's grabbing Esau's heel coming out. Now Isaac's grabbing him to see if he passes to get a blessing. Jacob's life's about the striving for blessing. And I'm here to tell us, we don't have to strive this morning. But God will pick a time to wrestle you. You read scripture. All of a sudden, an unknown man appears. There's so much commentary on this. It'll take you a while to read through it. But let's just leave it at the being that God sent to wrestle with Jacob. I'll call him an angel. Because it says the angel of the Lord. And some speculation is it's pre-incarnate, you know, Christ, and it's God. And it's the angel of the Lord this morning. And the angel of the Lord starts to wrestle with Jacob. And something was stirred in Jacob in that moment to go after something. You know, if you ever wrestled, or, you know, just fool around with some friend, you know, they grab a hold of you, and all of a sudden there's a moment where it's kind of play and it's kind of serious. And then it goes off to, no, you know what? It ain't game anymore. I'm going to rip your head off somewhere. Somewhere in there it goes that way, you know? But for 2 minutes, you take a high school kid or kid younger, you know, they start wrestling at age 3, where I'm from, 3 and 4, have wrestling clubs and everything. You know, 2 minutes is an eternity. You're matched against a person in your same weight class. They know the moves. And really, to be successful at wrestling is to counter your person's move quicker than they can counter your move. And the object of wrestling is to submit your opponent so his angel wings or his shoulder blades are on the ground. And you'd have a referee there. God's refereeing his own match in this scenario. And being the culture that it was, they would have done physical combative exercises in wrestling. Jacob wouldn't have been, this wouldn't have been like, what game are we playing? But something stirred in Jacob to go after his opponent, probably not aware that this opponent has been sent by God himself. And it says they wrestled till dawn. Let me tell you something. Wrestling for 6 minutes, you want to find a bucket and let everything out of you come out. And then kids in, you know, America and Iran and Russia, they wrestle tournaments. They'll wrestle 5 times in a day. I mean, you're talking about super fit human beings committed to allow every fiber of their muscle, every fiber of their being committed to submitting your opponent. But all day? I mean, all night? I can't imagine what that scenario is. It had to be, if I could say, God, in my opinion, would have to give supernatural strength to allow Jacob even to continue the wrestling that God started. Can I say that it's by his supernatural strength he puts in us, he puts a free will in you and I, but when we say, yes, I'm going to commit to move my free will into your will, supernatural strength comes into you and I for us to finish the wrestle that God initiated. It's not by my strength, but it's by his strength that he gives me to pursue him. God gives me the pursuit, the want to, even to put it back in God to want him. Jacob's been fighting his whole life. For 20 years, he's been fighting for the thing he wanted and his wife and his children. And he's saying, you know, you can imagine, where's this blessing from Isaac? My brother's going to kill me. And there has to be a moment where, you know, he's so tenacious, he's driving the angel nuts. Let me go. You talk about a tenacity. You know, there's a tenacity that God puts in every human being, but not every human being presses the button of tenacity. There's a will. There's a commitment to see this thing through, and that's where Jacob's in. To the point where the angel has to touch the tendon in his thigh, and he dislocates Jacob's hip. And to this day, the Israeli people won't eat from that tendon that's attached to the hip in honor of Jacob's truth that comes out of this story. Jacob was going to get a name change. He's called Israel. From deceiver to a man of promise who found the promise in the face-to-face encounter with the living God. We will never find the promise in doing it our own way. We only find the promise wrestling the face of God, can I say, in the face-to-face encounter intimacy that we can only find in Christ. And so in this moment, he's given this blessing, amazing blessing conferred upon his life. That's what Jacob's after. But he walks different his whole life from that point on. Can I say, when you really find the face of God and you find that the blessing you've been looking for is only found in Father God, you walk different from then on. People notice you walk with a limp. God's looking for people who walk, can I say, with a crooked limp. That word, Jabuk, can mean crooked. You know, he sent everything over, all of his possessions over that river, not knowing that God was going to alter his path. God was going to alter his walk. Jacob demands the blessing. He said, I'm not going to let go. You know, Jacob could have been Olympic champion, world champion in that moment, taking on an angel. I don't believe it was God himself. I believe it was an angel of the Lord. Because I don't think it was playtime. I think there was a commitment deep down within Jacob to go after the real thing. He finally realized, wrestling, that this was not a wrestle between two humans. I have the opportunity to get the real blessing I wanted, and it's not from man, it's from God. Can I say that we don't have to strive today? We just have to be committed. There's no need for striving. It's not me becoming a better worker. It's me in waiting on the Lord. It's me resting, as that song so aptly depicts. It's letting in myself accept the free gift that Jesus gave, and then using my free will to be committed to live in the gift called Jesus. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for the wrestlers called humanity. Not to push, but to see we're being pulled by God into blessing. He's pulling us into position that God started this thing called life. He breathed life into us. He's allowed us to come out of the womb. There's no need for striving. I don't have to compete with you because I get the blessing of Christ. You don't have to compete with me because Christ's blessing is available. All we have to do is say yes. And once we realize we have the blessing, to be committed to bring others into the blessing. It's a wonderful story of God's redemptive power into a man who was brought into a new name. He was brought into a new identity. He was brought into a new walk. He was brought into the blessings, but he was also brought into answered prayer. Can I say that everyone in this room, we want to be brought into a position of answered prayer. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. My human effort does not answer prayer. My striving with the things that I can't defeat. Yeah, probably God let him win. You know, probably the Lord let Jacob come into the place and find what his heart was longing for. If we could just get that last video ready. I'm going to end on this. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. And this is by T.D. Jakes' ministry. Be Inspired is the group.
You cannot be.
And I just wanted to end on this because today it's all about committing ourselves by our free will to allow God to wrestle with us, because he wrestles with us to bless us. So be blessed. Enjoy, fathers, whatever you're going to eat. May it not be gluten-free.
Until you see your old life and the misery thereof and want to change it. Are you committed? Because without commitment, nothing happens. If you don't learn to give like you learn to get, every area that there is not reciprocity, it will die. Reciprocity. What do you give back for what you get? If you're not committed, you're not going to make it. Even the ones with the personalities you don't like. You have to be committed. Through the storm and the rain and the heartache and the pain and the disappointment, you have to believe in the we and the us and not the me and the you. Or you're not gonna make it. It's a commitment, it's not a feeling. Until you have had the taste of finishing, you will not respect yourself. Until you follow through, until something is done, come hell or high water, tears and struggles and pain, and you go through it anyway, and you show up and you continue to fight on no matter the circumstances. After a while, something begins to wither inside of you. Anytime you need something that you can't give to yourself, you're at the mercy of somebody else, and when they don't come through, you got pain. And what you become is the consequences of what you didn't get. It's an urge. It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it, don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much, but don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference.
If Jacob quits, there is no Israel. Don't quit. Be committed to receive the Father's blessing and to bring others into an awareness. To wait and rest in Him is everything. Father God, we praise You and thank You. Lord, just I thank You for blessing the house. Lord, I thank You, Lord God, that there's a tenacity within humanity that You're pushing the button of to be totally, wholeheartedly committed to You and to none other. Till we see the race finished. In Jesus' name, amen. There's prophetic ministry to my right. There is prayer for all those who want prayer to my left. God bless you. Have a wonderful celebration. See you tonight.